End of we're at the end of an amazing Sefer Bereishis, and it always pains me to leave Bereishis and move on to Shmos, as great as Shmos is, but you know, I wish we could just spend forever on Bereishis. I want to take a look at the end of Bereishis. Let's go to Perek Nun, chapter 50, and we'll begin. We'll begin from there. Okay. Okay. So the pasuk says, "Vayipol Yosef al pnei Aviv, vayefk alav vayishaklo." Yosef falls, right? He almost like he collapses in front of his father. Vayefk alav vayishaklo. And he cries and he kisses him. In this is in the face of Yaakov's demise. Vayitzav Yosef es avadav es arofim lachanot es aviv. And Yosef commands his servants to embalm his father. Vayachantu harofim es Yisrael. And indeed, the rofim, whatever they were, these physicians, if you will, they embalmed him. Okay. Vayimlu'u lo arba'im yom. And 40 days passed. Kichen yimlu'u yimei achanutim. These are the days that were dedicated for chanita, kavua, for the embalmed, for all of the, for the process, for all those who went through this process. Vayivku oso mitzrayim shivim yom. And the people of Egypt, they, as a whole, generally, the general populace, and I would say the government. Mitzrayim doesn't just mean, you know, the people. Mitzrayim means Egypt. And so he was lauded and extolled and admired, and he was acknowledged, and his passing was a big thing for Egypt. And they cried over his death for 70 days. By Avru Yemei Bechiso, and after these days passed, by Daber Yosef al Beis Paro Lemor, Yosef spoke to the house of Paro, and he said, "Im namatzas yichen beinechem, if you wouldn't mind doing me a favor, Dabruna beez bazne Paro Lemor, I would like you to whisper something in Paro's ear. You know, you have the ear of the king, and this is what I want you to tell him." Avi hishbiani lemor, hine anochi meis bekivri, asher karisi li be'eretz kina'an, shama tikbereini. My father had made me take an oath, and that when he died, before he died, that when he would die, I would be bound to bury him in Eretz Kina'an, in his ancestral grave. V'atay alena dechbera es aviv ashuva. And now, I would like to make good on that vow and go up and bury my father, and then I will return. Vayomer Paro, and Paro says, Alea ukvores avicha kasher ishbiecha. Paro says, by all means, go and, you know, go and bury your father as he bound you to do. And indeed, vayal Yosef lukvores aviv, vayalu ito kolev de Paro ziknei veso, it's Israel, and Yosef goes, and with him, excuse me, and with him a whole entourage of the house of Paro, and the elders of the land of Egypt. Yosef aviv, and all of the house of Yosef and his brothers and his father's household. They just left their children and their. Excuse me. They just left the children and their flocks and their sheep. They left in Goshen. And horses and chariots and a whole entourage came up with him, and it was a very vayi amachane kaved. And the camp, you know, it was very heavy. In other words, it was a major entourage. They got to Garin Ha'atad. There was a major eulogy, big levaya. All the notables came and spoke. 7 days of mourning. And then, the people of Canaan saw what a huge event this was, and they acknowledged how significant it was for Mitzrayim. Vayasu banav lo, kein kasher tzivam, vayasu oso banav arza kenan, vayikbiru oso bimaras sedeh hamachpelah. And the boys took him now to, as they had been commanded, and they brought him to Marat HaMachpelah. The Marat HaMachpelah that Avraham had bought from Ephron Hachiti, and Yosef then returned to Mitzrayim. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim, hu ve'achav v'chol ha'olim ito likbor es aviv, acharei kavro es aviv. Okay, so these opening 14 psukim, I think, are some of the saddest psukim in the entire Tanakh. Really. Very, very sad. And they're sad to me, not because Yaakov died. I mean, that is sad and that is tragic. But there's something, there is a leitmotif here, if you will, which I think if we read the psukim carefully, we will see is sort of staring us in the face. In these 15 psukim, who is the major protagonist, if you will? Who is the major character in these psukim? We just read 15 psukim together. So if I would ask you, who's the focus of attention over here? So who is it?
Yaakov, right?
Well, Yaakov's dead, so he's the object, right?
And then Yosef.
But Yosef is the subject, right? Right, Yosef commands, Yosef does, Yosef speaks, Yosef goes, Yosef brings, Yosef returns back to Mitzrayim. So on the face of it, Yosef is the key player here. Right? Just look at Pasuk 1 and 2, and then Pasuk 14. Vayipol Yosef al pnei aviv, vayef galav. Yosef falls, Yosef cries, Yosef kisses, and then vayitzav Yosef commands. Yosef is the clear subject here. And now skip to Pasuk 14. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayima. And now Yosef returns to Mitzrayim. Hu ve'echav. He and his brothers, right? V'chol ha'olim ito, and everybody that came up with him. Acharei kavros aviv. And, you know, after they had finished burying him. But I would argue that Yosef is the subject here, but not for the reasons that we may think. Yosef is the subject, clearly. You know, he's the one who's pulling all the strings, who's making everything happen. All in pursuit of fulfilling his father's last will and testament. But I don't think that that's really the story that's going on here. I mean, we have 14 psukim here telling us how Yosef got a funeral for his father. Now, maybe the Torah is telling us this to tell us how important Kibud Av Va'em is, to tell us how important taking care of the last remains and the last respects of a person are extraordinarily important. And it goes through the psukim to tell us, you know, it wasn't easy for Yosef. Yosef had to get permission from Paro, and he had to work it out, and he had to gather the people together, and it was a major state affair. He had a whole entourage of Egypt that came with him. So maybe, just maybe, the psukim here are telling us about how important we should take this responsibility of final respects for an individual. But while I don't think that that's wrong, I don't think that that's what really the message of these 14 psukim are at all. I think that, I'm sorry?
Do you want to know what I think?
Go ahead. What do you think?
I don't see the brothers for a long time until later on. So you would think that if it's so important, that the brothers should have been just as involved in wanting to bury their father, even though the father asked Yosef, because maybe Yosef was the top person and Yosef was his favorite, but nevertheless, they weren't so involved.
So you're saying this is these psukim are being brought as a condemnation to the brothers. Is that what you're saying?
You don't see the brothers involved until later on, about 15.
Okay, so these psukim, directly or indirectly, are some level of critique of the brothers' involvement or lack of involvement. Right, anybody else have a thought about why this is like the end of the whole Brachus, and here the end of the whole Brachus, we leave off the 14th psukim, and they're not that many more. There's another 10 psukim before the end of the of the whole Sefer. So are these 14 psukim dedicated to perhaps what I said, telling us how important Kavura is, paying final respects? Maybe these 14 psukim are here as a indirect condemnation of the brothers. Judy, what do you want to say?
The end of the 14 psukim is they all went back to Mitzrayim. And I think
Ryan. That's
kind of the punchline after all of that.
14 line. 14.
Okay, Yosef said that he said to Paro he had an obligation maybe to Paro, I have to go back, but they all went back. So it's like we did all of this and now we're leaving and starting a new life somewhere else.
Okay, so Judy makes a really, I think, a powerful point here as well. And that is maybe these 14 psukim is not so much a condemnation of the brothers for their lack of involvement in the Kvura, but here, finally, you know, they go back to Eretz Yisrael and they bury their father. And they knew what their father's ethos was. They knew what his legacy was. They knew about the promise of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Kenaan. Their father, when he initially told them they were going to go down to Mitzrayim, you know, the whole purpose of going down to Mitzrayim was to make sure that they had food. Okay, ostensibly that's been taken care of. So now they go back, and this is basically one grand ritual of putting Eretz Yisrael behind them and saying, we're done with Eretz Yisrael, and we are firmly, affirmatively establishing our roots in Mitzrayim. And that is perhaps 14 psukim of indirect condemnation. Because after all, with everything that Yaakov taught the sons, they didn't teach him about the importance of living in Eretz Canaan, the Eretz Hashem, the Eretz Avot. Of course he did. And yet, they turn their backs on this legacy. And this really sets the stage then for Sefer Shmos, right? For the oppression in Egypt, for the assimilation and the oppression that follows. And so I agree, Judy. I think that's a very powerful take on this. And just to put a fine line underneath that, if you look at Pasuk says, where is it over here? Pasuk 12. Vayasu banav lo. Kain ka'asher tzivam. Okay, what does Pasuk 12 say? The brothers did as Yaakov commanded them. But look, and so it sort of, underscores how they really didn't do what Yaakov commanded them. Yes, they took care of his kavura, right? But they didn't really live up to his legacy of Eretz Yisrael. And I want to underscore the trap, how the pasuk reads. Vayasu banav lo, that's mercha tipcha esnachta, it reads like this. Vayasu banav lo. So pause, the children did for him. And then it's Cain Tipcha Kasher Tzivam. Vayasu Banavlo, the brothers did to him. Cain, so, pause, Kasher Tzivam, as he commanded. It's not Cain Kasher Tzivam. He didn't do properly as he commanded. They did Cain properly, Kasher Tzivam, as he commanded. There is a break between those two words. If it's proper, if you read it properly according to the Trap. And I would suggest that the reason for this is because the meaning of this pasuk is to indicate that they really, you know, there's a double meaning here. In one way, they did properly, but Kasher Tzivam, as he commanded them, they didn't do properly. Right? Vayasu Vanavlo, Cain, the brothers did properly with the burial, but Kasher Tzivam, in terms of the legacy that he left for them, they didn't do properly. And now let's read Pasuk 13 and 14. Vayisu osovanav arza, vayikberu osovamaras stea machpela. They buried him there. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim ahu ve'echa v'chol olimo tolikbor saviv acharei kavro saviv. They returned back to Mitzrayim after they buried him. What else were they doing there? That's what they were doing. They were burying him there. Why is the Torah telling me this? They went, and all those who went to bury them, after they buried him, they came home. Because I think the point is exactly what Judy is saying here. They went up for a very limited, very limited focus in following their father's wishes. But the small picture, an important picture, a very important picture, Kavura. But that was all it was. They went up likboras aviv, acharei kavras aviv, they came right back. Okay. I think there's another level, another layer here as well. Anybody else before I take it to the next point? Okay, so let's take a look at these 14 psukim again. So we have three layers here so far. The pshat layer, Yosef is the protagonist, right? The next layer is, this is an indirect condemnation of the brothers for not being more involved in the honoring their father. The third layer here, it was a indirect condemnation of the brothers for not fulfilling properly their father's legacy. So now let's go back again to these 14 psukim, and I would like to suggest one other way of reading it. So I'm going to go back here to the beginning, Pasuk Aleph. All right, so the father dies. Vayipol Yosef al pnei aviv, vayefk ala vayishaklo. He prostrates himself. He is, terrible sadness. He cries. He kisses his father. There's a lot of pain, a lot of pathos, a lot of emotion here. And Yosef has one goal. Vayitzav Yosef es avadav es harofim. Immediately, he snaps into action. Lachanot es aviv, to embalm his father. Now, do we have any indication that Avraham was embalmed before he died? No. Do we have? I'm sorry.
No, but there's a reason. Was
it
embalming more of an Egyptian thing?
Yeah. Bombing is more of an Egyptian thing. So we have no indication of Avraham being embalmed, and we have no indication of Yitzchak being embalmed. But Yosef, the first thing he does, he snaps into action, and the first thing he does is Vayitzav Yosef es avadav es harofim lachanot es aviv. Why is that the first thing he does? It's a totally Egyptian thing, embalming. Right? I'm sorry?
The reason for it is because they were able to bury their forefathers, the other ones, fast. He knew that this was going to be a whole Megillah until he would get his father out, so that I think he had to embalm his father, right? To keep him preserved.
All right, so perhaps... But I want to what's the word? I want to challenge the very assumption of your comment. And it's not just your comment. The Mefarshim say this, that the, you know, they wanted to he wanted to embalm him or to besum him, some type of preservative, because you know it's going to take a while. But why? I ask the question, why? Why would it take a while? It could put him on a, you know, it wasn't that long of a journey to go from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan. I don't know how long it would take by camel, but not that long, right? Not that long. How many days? A few days. I mean, we're not talking about weeks and months, right? He could have now 70 days. 70 days might be a long time. But why did he have to wait 70 days? And the answer to that, I think, is the answer that underscores everything that we understand about these 14 psukim. So let's just go a little further here. Hold on one second. Where is it here? Okay. So Vayimlu lo arba'im yom ki chen yimlu yimei chachanutim vayivku oso Mitzrayim shivim yom. So now Yosef allows his father to stay for 70 days for Egypt to cry for him, to mourn for him. Now maybe it's these 40 days plus of embalming plus plus an additional 30 days, but whatever it is, Yosef allowed for it. Why? Why did he allow for it? Question number two. Dalad, vayavru yemei b'chiso, vayidaber Yosef al beis paro lemor. After the days of mourning concluded, Yosef speaks to the court of Paro, beis paro, and he says, do me a favor, im namatza sichen beinechem, dabruna b'azne paro lemor. Can you do me a favor, and I want you to whisper something in Paro's ear. What I want you to whisper in Paro's ear, I need a few days vacation to go bury my father. Really? This is what Yosef needs somebody to whisper into Paro's ear? Who's Yosef? Yosef is the guy who saved Mitzrayim. Yosef is the guy who's running Mitzrayim. Yosef is the guy without whom Mitzrayim would not be at its pinnacle of power, of economic position that it was at this moment of time. And Yosef has to not just ask permission. He can't even do it directly. Somehow, he believes that he has to get this whispered into Paro's ear. Dabru ba'azne paro lemor. Do me a favor. This is the equivalent of the CEO going to the janitor. And I don't dismiss the important work of janitors. Janitors are very important. But if you're the CEO of the company, and you need to speak to the chairman of the board, you don't go to the janitor and ask him to put in a good word for you. Yosef was the CEO. He needs to speak to the chairman, and he's got to go through a mid-level manager? It's almost startling. And this is what he wants the mid-level manager to whisper into Paro's ear. he wants Paro to say, Paro, Yosef needs a few days off to go bury his father. But that's not what he says. Let's read it, Pasuk Hey. What's the message that he actually has whispered into Paro's ear? Avi hishpiani lemor, my father made me take a vow. Hine anochi meis b'kivri asher karisi li beretz kinan shama tik bereini. I want you to bury me in Maras HaMachpelah. V'ata ele na avek beretz aviv ashuva. So now let me go and fulfill my obligation. So again, let me get this straight. He's telling Paro, basically, you know, it's like, you know, when you don't want to go to a social function, and you're fortunate enough to either have a spouse or children, you can say, listen, I really want to go, but you know, I got my kids' thing going on. I have to go to my kids' ball game. My wife said it's our 25th anniversary. I really want to be there, but I have this obligation that I cannot I cannot undo. I mean, that's what this sounds like. Why is Yosef saying, Havishpiani, my father made me take a vow? It's like, really, if it were up to me, you know, I'd be happy burying him right here in Egypt. I got no problem with it. But listen, Paro, my father, and you know, and I know, a vow is not something to be trifled with. That's the message that Yosef is sending to Paro? Avish biani lemor. I have an obligation. And that's and so please let me go and bury my father. This is so striking on so many levels here. Why is Yosef even asking permission to begin with? When he asks permission, he doesn't do it directly. When he does it indirectly, even the message that he sends is not a simple request, but he sort of lays blame on a bond that he was forced into by his father, and one which he cannot lightly lightly walk away from. Very troubling indeed. By Omer Paro, and Paro says, "Aleu kvoras avicha kasher hishbiacha." So go and bury your father, right? So lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, the Queen of England just died, right? And there was a major pomp and circumstance and pageantry lying in state and all of that. But the family also had private time to grieve. There's a private stuff going on. So they had 70 days of mourning in Egypt. Okay. I would suggest that those 70 days of mourning were not mourning for Yaakov. It was in honor of Yosef, right? When he was the equivalent of the monarch. When the monarch is sitting Shiva, the whole country sits Shiva, right? They couldn't care less, or they could, or they not, whatever. But it's the monarch. He's second. He's Yosef. So they put the flag at half staff, as it were, and the whole country mourned for 70 days. But that's not a function of Yaakov, that's a function of Yosef. At least they'll peep shot. So this is all for Yosef. And now, when Yosef tells Paro, he whispers in his ear the whole thing, he wants to go. Paro says, great idea. Why don't you take off a few days, go bury your father, and to help you along, I'm going to send my entire court with you. How's that for some private time for grieving? Vayal, and that brings us to Pasuk 7. Vayal Yosef likboris aviv. Yosef goes to bury his father. I mean, there can't be anything more private than that. Yosef burying his father who he cried for, who he kissed, who he prostrated, his father who was beloved to him, and he was beloved to his father. It can't be something more tender, more quiet, more private. And what does Paro do? Vayalu ito kol avde Paro zikne beso. The senior staff in the house of Paro, in Paro's court, goes up with Yosef. Why? V'chol zikne eretz Mitzrayim. And the entire leadership of Egypt. The house of Paro. If you had to describe this to somebody, this doesn't sound like a sending off. This almost sounds like a guy who is, in prison. We're going to let you out of prison for a few days, but I'm putting an ankle bracelet on you, and I'm sending all the guards to make sure that you don't skip town while you're out. That's what it's. If we would remove the names of the story, and I would just give you the bare bones, a guy in Egypt sends word to Paro, give me special treatment, I want to go bury my father. Paro sends him with a whole coterie of, you might think that maybe this is a guy who was in prison that got, that tugged on the heartstrings of Paro. And Paro was kind to him. But he also wanted to make sure that the guy finished his term. And that's how these psukim sound. V'chol beis Yosef, v'echav u'beis aviv, rak tapam v'tzonam v'karam azvu be'eretz Goshen. The whole house of Yosef went up. By the way, the whole house except for the children and the sheep. Now, I get the sheep not going up, but why didn't they bring the grandchildren? The problem? It's almost as though Paro wanted to make sure that Yosef and the brothers would come back. I'm keeping these children here as almost as hostages. Excuse me. This is the insurance policy. Bayali mo gam rechev gam parashim, and you know, along with the honored guard goes wagons and wagon drivers. This is military people. So they get up to Goren Ha'atad, Asher Be'Evar Yarden, Pasuk 10. They have eulogies there. Vayasla Aviv Evel Shivat Yamim. Yosef now sits Shiva for 7 days. Vayar Yosef Ha'aretz Ha'knanias Ha'Evel Be'Goren Ha'atad. Vayomer Evel Kaved Zal Mitzrayim. But clearly this was not a private event, because as attested by the denizens of Kina'an, this was an Egyptian event. Vayomru, what are the denizens of Kina'an? What do they comment? Vayar Yosef, wow, Evel Kaved Zel Mitzrayim. They don't say Evel Kaved Zel Beis Yosef. Or, you know, this is clearly an official state visit. And this is representing what's Mitzrayim. This is not a private time for Yosef. Al kein karashma Evel Mitzrayim asher be'Evar Yarden, and this place is called Evel Mitzrayim. And this, I think, is where we get the really sad part. The really sad part is that Yosef couldn't leave Egypt. Yosef was unable to leave Egypt. He was in handcuffs. They might have been golden handcuffs, but he was in handcuffs. And how sad is that? The guy is a prisoner in the palace of Egypt. He might be able to tell everybody, you know, how to run the economy and this and that and the other thing, but at the end of the day, he's bound to Egypt. He can't bury his father the way he wants to. He has to he can't do it as quickly. He has to embalm him. He has to show that he's more Egyptian than the Egyptians, or at least as Egyptian as the Egyptians. He doesn't even feel that he has the power to talk straight to Paro and say, "I'd like to bury my father." That's how precarious his position is. And how ironic and sad that irony is. So Yosef brings his father, he buries him in Marat HaMachpelah. And how does the Pasuk describe Marat HaMachpelah? Marat HaMachpelah asher kana Avram es hasadeh l'achuzas kever me'et Ephron hachiti al pnei Mamre. Look at the contrast here. What was Avram's relationship with Ephron Hachiti, right? Let's go back to the story. This was, who was in the position of power and who was in the position of need? Ephron was in the position of power. Avram was in the position of need. He was in the vulnerable position. But Avram did not conduct himself as a vulnerable Jew. He stood there, standing tall, and he negotiated with Avram and all the B'nai Chet, one man against everybody else. That's Avram. That's Marat HaMachpelah. By the time we get to Yosef and the death of Yaakov, Yosef is what we call, Lahavdil, a Golos Jew. He's a Golos Jew. He's living in Egypt. He might be at a very high position in Egypt. He might be the CEO of the bank or the CFO of the corporation. He might be a vice president of the country. But at the end of the day, in his mind and in the mind of those around him, he's still just a Jew. And he's not equal. I don't care how nice you look, how expensive your clothing are. At the end of the day, you're still just a Jew. That's the Golos the Gaulish Jew. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayimah, and that's in stark contrast to Avram and Ephron and Bnei Chet. I think that's why the Pasuk tells us he buries in Marat HaMachpelah. We don't know that Ephron sold him Marat HaMachpelah. We know exactly. We don't know that Avram bought it from him. We know exactly. But the Torah says, contrast, Yosef and the brothers now, Avram and Ephron Hachiti then. Totally different. Avram didn't have to shed his Avram Avinu-ness in order to get what he needed from Ephron and Bnei Chet. But sadly, Yosef and the brothers do. Or at least they feel they do. Yud Dalad, 14th pasuk. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayimah. Yosef returns to Mitzrayim. Hu ve'echav, he and his brothers. V'chol ha'olim ato likbor esaviv, acharei kavro esaviv. They come right back down to Egypt. And now, this sets the stage. Vayirachei Yosef kimeis avihem. It's like the brothers of Yosef see that their father died. And they say to Yosef, Luis temenu Yosef hashev yashiv lanu eskolera asher gmalanu oso. We're afraid that our brother Yosef is now going to finally take revenge on us. Vayitzavu el Yosef lemor. And Yosef, and they command Yosef, saying, or they tell Yosef, you know, our father told us before he died that you shouldn't harm us. Avi tzivalanu lefnei moso lemor. Avicha, your father, Yosef, your father, not our father, not Avinu. Your father told us that you shouldn't do any harm to Yosef after I die. Ki saruli Yosef anasana peshachecha v'chatasam kirag malucha v'atasana v'pesha avdei alochecha Yaakov. Vayef Yosef b'dabram elav. And they're pouring out their heart, sort of making up this story that Yaakov said, don't do us any harm. And Yosef just cries. Vayef Yosef. Yosef cries. Why does Yosef cry? Well, he cries because he can't believe his brothers think that he would do this. We throw ourselves before you. We'll do anything. Just don't kill us. And Yosef says, Al tiro, atachas elokim ani. Am I in place of God? I'm not the one who passes judgment. Hashem passes judgment. You thought what you were doing for me was for ill. It turned out it was all for good. Don't worry. You can almost feel like Yosef is just crying while he's saying this to the brothers. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be fine. Everything. But he's just broken inside. Just absolutely broken. He consoles them, he speaks to them, and he says, don't worry. Vayeshev Yosef b'Mitzrayim hu v'esaviv. Yosef settles into Egypt. He lives 110 years. And Yosef blesses his sons before he dies, and he tells them, bring my bones up to Mitzrayim. And here is the kicker. Pasuk 26. Vayamas Yosef. This is how the entire Sefer Bereishis ends. Vayamas Yosef. Yosef dies. Ben me'a ve'eser shanim. He dies at 110 years old. Vayachantu oso. They embalm him. Vayisem ba'aron. They put him in a coffin in Mitzrayim. And that's the end of Yosef. Yosef died. Just look at the imagery of this. Yosef dies as an Egyptian, buried in a coffin, alone in Egypt. His brother is basically, you know, that relationship is gone. But the main thing is that, and that's why I think that that this last parak of Bereishis is really such a sad, you know, parak. It's sad because it highlights the fact that the very sad and precarious nature of Yosef in Mitzrayim. He became a Gaulish Jew. He's Yosef in Mitzrayim. He's an Egyptian. He's buried as an Egyptian. He's embalmed as an Egyptian. He can't move to Eretz Yisrael. He can't leave Paro. He cannot speak directly to Paro. He cannot speak his mind. He cannot live as he wishes to live. in so many ways. It's just sad. And in as much as this is sad, and it serves as a foreshadowing of much of Gullus, the exile of the Jewish people in the future, it also sets the stage for Sefer Shmos, sadly and perfectly. Because Sefer Shmos begins with the brothers dying and the oppression beginning. And the Netziv, in his Hamek Davar, I believe, says that, you don't blame the victim for the actions of the oppressor. But, he said, you don't win friends or respect by trying to blend in, by shedding your identity. He says, you know why, from a cosmic perspective, from a spiritual perspective, you know why the oppression of Egypt happens? The oppression of Egypt happens because Bnei Israel, they divested themselves of their identity. Right? It began maybe during the time of Yosef and embalming Yaakov, but it ultimately ends up with a Klal Yisrael that is really very much divested of its identity. If you open up to the first psukim in Shmos, just for the purposes of putting a fine point under this, just take a look at the first opening psukim here. Pasuk says at the beginning of Shmos, these are the brothers that went down to Mitzrayim. Why does it tell us that these brothers went down to Mitzrayim? Going down to Mitzrayim was just not a physical move. This was a cultural move, as we just saw in these 14 psukim that we read. And the Jewish people became powerful and strong and many and multiplied. So in the context of divesting themselves of their identity, like they moved out of the Lower East Side and they moved to Scarsdale, right? In other words, they moved to Long Island, right? So no longer living in the Lower East Side, they're no longer living just in Goshen. But says the Netziv that when you move, when you divest yourself of your identity, it does not win respect. It only brings calumny and ultimately condemnation, critique, condemnation, and worse. Because, your enemy, if you don't respect yourself, your enemy certainly won't respect you either. So I'm a little sad to say that, we're ending this parsha, or this sefer, on a sad and depressing note. But let me not leave us on an entirely sad and depressing note. Because at the end of the day, even in as much as everything that we said, up until this point, the pasuk tells us one very powerful thing. As all this is going on, Yosef indeed is the protagonist. So let's just go back and do this one more time very quickly to end on a positive note. Pasuk Aleph, Yosef falls on his face and he cries and he kisses Yaakov. Vayitzav Yosef, he commands the people to do the following, and they do what they tell him to do. Vayimlu'u yarba'im yom vayavru b'chiyaso, and Yosef, vayidaber Yosef, and Yosef speaks in order to accomplish the goal that he needs to accomplish. And Paro allows him to do what he seeks to do. Vaya'al Yosef, and Yosef does go up, and Yosef does bury his father. Vayalo'i tokol beis Paro, and the whole house of Paro follows him. And the pasuk says, "Vayal imo gamrechev," and with him comes even the elite of Egypt, and they come to Goren Atad, and there's a eulogy there. But vayas la'aviv, and Yosef sat shiva for his father. Vayar Yosef, and the people saw what they saw. And the pasuk concludes with Vayashav Yosef, pasuk 14. Yosef returns to Mitzrayim. So here is the silver lining. The silver lining is that, does anybody remember a few parshios ago that Paro named Yosef, gave him a different name? Anybody remember that? He names him Tzafnas Paneach. Right? That's the Egyptian name. But inasmuch as whatever we said, I still maintain, but the silver lining here is that Yosef doesn't really lose his identity. He finds himself in this very challenging circumstance, but he still remains Yosef throughout. He still remains Yosef throughout. And it is because he remains Yosef throughout that ultimately Klal Yisrael has hope of redemption. What do Chazal tell us? Chazal tell us that the Jewish people, even as far as they assimilated in Egypt, they never lost a few things. One of the things, Shinu es Shmam, they didn't change their names, they didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing. So there was something that they held on to. Yosef always remains Yosef. And even in the challenging conditions of Egypt, Yosef does not simply sit back and say, woe is me. Even in the challenging conditions of Galus, of Egypt, of exile, every word here is a word of, is an action word of Yosef taking ownership of his situation and making the best of it and trying to do what he can to accomplish his goals. And he ultimately makes it to Eretz Kanaan, and he sits Shiva for his father and he buries him. Is it the best way? Is it like Avraham did it with Chet? No. But this is his situation and this is his environment. And instead of just capitulating to it, he works in his environment to meet his goals and meet his needs without entirely divesting himself of his identity. And this is what he passes on to his children and his children after that. And so as far as Klal Yisrael go, they still hold on to somewhat of the identity of what it means to be a Jew. And this strand, this sliver of the tradition is what keeps them whole, such that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to take them out at the end of the oppression of Egypt, there's still a Jewish people to take out. So it's a sad ending to say for Bracious, but there is a silver lining and there is a glimmer of hope. And Be'ezras Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all that in our challenging situations, we are able to have the strength of character to be who we are, with not divest our identities, and in doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessing us with a full and complete Geula, redemption, personally and for all of Klal Yisrael. Any thoughts or comments or questions before we head off? Yeah, Judy. You're on mute.
I know, my mouse wasn't working.
Okay.
I just another thought on it. It's not such a good, bad issue, like Gullah's Jew bad. And I think one of the things is Yosef had power. Yosef kept his identity and was able to deal with the surrounding culture in order to do things, good things for himself. And for his brothers, and for, you know, so, and I think the ongoing struggle is not, you know, just holding on to who we are. It's holding on to who we are, and dealing effectively with the surrounding culture.
Right. Okay.
That's not necessarily a negative thing.
It's not a negative thing, but I think hiding one's identity, or feeling the need to hide one's identity, I think that's negative. I think the fact that he's able, I think that given his circumstance, like you said, given his circumstance, he is able to manage and struggle and deal and accomplish and do quite a bit. That you know, that is a good. That's a good thing. So it's not
about hiding your identity. It's maintaining your identity, but also dealing effectively with the surrounding culture. It's not
right. So I guess the question is, what is the balance there where it becomes a compromise and not a management?
And I think that's the ongoing struggle.
Right.
I don't think it's clear.
Rabbi.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, Paula.
We must not forget that Pharaoh was good to Joseph and made him who he was. Therefore, Joseph had a lot of respect for Pharaoh, and that's why he asked permission to bury his father.
Okay, I hear that. That definitely explains why he would ask permission, although it doesn't address why he wouldn't do so directly, and he would only do so in a way that seems like he didn't really want to do it to begin with. But I take your point, and I think that your point is very well taken. He did have a lot of Hakara Satov, and he should have had Hakara Satov to Paro. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah,
go ahead, Marjorie.
Well, I guess what Judy said, and everyone's saying, it just brings up this